We've got a green. All right, there it is. All right, perfect.
Well, so much fun to be back. And already this morning, connecting with so many of you, so many friends, different connections. And I've often wondered, how long do I have to live in central Pennsylvania in Lancaster until I'm really embraced as a local? What is the correct answer on that? Those of you that are from here, what's the correct answer? It's not possible. Thank you for that depressing word. I'm over 20 years. Doesn't that count for something? I've never lived anywhere 20 years. So I love that. And I love calling this place home. And I love the friendships that are here in this room and the journey that we get to be on together. But even more than that, you know what I love? I love that we are, as followers of Jesus, we are connected to this beautiful history, this beautiful story of what it looks like to show up and to live out our faith. I love the mission statement of MDS, the vision. How can we follow Jesus hands and feet? How do we do that? How do we do that in our world? And I love that that is really, at the end of the day, what we're trying to figure out over the time that we gather together. What does it look like to follow Jesus in the places where we are? And just real quick on the work that I do with Hope International, you know, there are amazing organizations that respond, and we have this little niche. We have this little niche of what we do, wanting to come behind organizations that do incredible relief and development work, and we want to figure out how we help strengthen economies, help invest in entrepreneurs. And so there is this study that was done at how the U.S. church responds to global poverty. And we're just trying to focus on that bottom one a little more. What does it look like for us to do a little bit more as we walk alongside individuals, helping them start or expand small businesses? Well, this is our goal. The proper aim of giving is to put the recipient in a state where he no longer needs our gift. I love that. The hour that when we can say they need me no longer should be our reward. So that's what we're trying to do at Hope International. We're trying to figure out how can we come alongside individuals, create jobs so that they can provide for their families, support their local churches, and impact their communities. And if anyone wants more information, we do have a tour this afternoon and going to go through a poverty simulation at our office locally for anyone that would like to join us. But using these tools of savings groups, microfinance institutions, and small and medium enterprises, I could go on about the work that I do because I love it. But that is not what I was asked to do this morning. So I was asked to talk about prayer. Can I just show a couple more pictures, though? Because I just love this work that we get to do. But this conversation of what it looks like to lead with prayer. I have to tell a backstory, perhaps. Some of you, this is the first time that I'm meeting. But in addition to my job with Hope International, maybe because of my job with Hope International, I spend a lot of time on airplanes and traveling to the different countries where we work. And I have a problem. I have a sincere, challenge. And I don't know if anyone else has this, but I am on the bell curve of people who love medical issues and those that don't. I'm on the side that don't on that. My father-in-law is a doctor, and I have this deal that I literally, if I see a needle, I can pass out. I joke. I kid you not. I literally could pass out. Can anyone else relate? Does anyone else pass out when they're given blood? I'm giving prizes today, and I feel so seen by you on that. Yes, thank you. Karen, I have passed out in my wife's ultrasound. I wasn't even doing it. My wife got a blood test, just a prick. I passed out on that. She had to drive home when she was sick on that. I have passed out while getting dentist work because I could tell there was a needle. One time I fell, and the entire medical whole table of all those devices over. And so that brings me to flights, international flights. You know, sometimes, especially international, they have the television that's like right in the middle of the aisle. You can't look away. Everyone has that. I was leading a mission trip to the Democratic Republic of Congo. We're about ready to land, and they are showing this movie on the screen, The Incredible Hulk. The Incredible Hulk, spoiler, has needles in it on that. I start feeling really hot, like really, I'm in trouble. I pass out cold. I pass out completely. And I'm on the floor of the airplane as we're trying to land. That's disruptive for everyone on the plane, by the way. It's not just disruptive for me. Very disruptive on that. I remember coming to and the face of the people. I was supposed to be the leader. I was supposed to be the experienced leader. I remember their eyes getting very big. What is happening? So from that moment, I've passed out on 4 now international flights. Again, very disruptive every single time. It's never easy to do. So my deal is I write books when I'm on planes. You know why? Because I only look at my little screen and I don't look at anything else. So all of these books have been written on planes because I'm afraid of needles. Not many people know that, but that's the truth on that. And it gives me an excuse to say, I want to learn. I don't want to look at needles and I want to learn on this. And so every time that I start a writing project, I start with the opportunity to ask a question. I don't write from a place of expertise. I write from a place of curiosity. So what I'm going to share today and tomorrow is something that I am so early in my learning, but it has changed my life and it has changed the organizational patterns that we have. And it is on this topic of prayer. Now, how many of you in this room would say, you know, Peter, I pretty much have nailed prayer. I'm pretty awesome at it. Anyone? Because if so, you can just, I mean, you can leave on that. Or you can teach. Maybe we can have you come up here. No, this is a topic that's really difficult. How do we lead with prayer? And the irony of this particular project is that a friend, his name is Ryan Skoog, he reached out and said, Peter, I look at my bookshelves and I have all of these books on leadership. And I've been to conferences and I've been so many different times to learn about leadership. And then he said, on my bookshelf, I have this section on prayer. And there's some great books on prayer. But he said, you know what I've never been able to find is a book that looks at the prayer lives of amazing leaders. What can we learn about the prayer lives of leaders and how might that shape us and how might that shape our organizations? And so he said, let's write a book on the prayer habits of leaders. Let's bring these two genres together, the leadership and the prayer. Let's bring them together and say, what can we learn? And my response to him was, Ryan, that sounds awesome. I would love to read that book, but I am out of that one. And the reason was that shortly before this, there had been a day that we had been given at Hope International to focus on prayer. And we were at Black Rock Retreat locally. We had a day in this beautiful spot. We were given prayer prompts. We were given a prayer journal to go through. We were given time and space to pray. And I was so focused on some of the big challenges that we had. Ukraine is a place where Hope was founded. It has been extraordinarily difficult to navigate these past 3 years. We work in Haiti. That has been so challenging. We work in places of extreme poverty around the world. And we're given this day, we're given this time, we're given these prayer prompts. And have you ever had the opportunity to pray, but you just felt like you couldn't? I just couldn't get my head to slow down. I remember looking at my prayer journal at the end of the day, and you know what I had? A lot of to-do items that I thought about during that day of what I needed to do. I love checkboxes. I had a lot of checkboxes. I looked at my my fitness app. I had almost 20,000 steps that day. There was a lot of pacing, and there was very little praying. And so isn't it ironic that in this moment, shortly after this particular moment, Ryan says, let's write a book on prayer. And I'm like, that I don't know how to pray. I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, but prayer has never been easy for me. And I am so grateful. The following day, I thought it would at least be good to pray about it. and I tell you, one of the few times in my life where there was a clear invitation, and the invitation was, don't miss the journey. And I am so grateful. We went on a journey of 2 years listening and learning from global leaders about their prayer lives, and it has radically changed us as individuals. It has
radically changed the prayer practices of our organization. It has radically changed my understanding of prayer and moved from I should pray,
I can't believe we get to pray, from a duty or obligation, we're supposed to do this, to this is unbelievable that we are invited to do this. And so what I want to share is just a little bit more of what we've learned on this journey. What does it look like to lead with prayer? And again, if you find that this is a challenge for you, you are not alone. One study looked at pastors, those full-time individuals, and some might say, aren't they kind of paid to pray? Like, they can be on the clock and they can pray on that. But 72% said consistency in prayer is one of their greatest needs to address. Isn't it interesting? I think for a lot of us, this is something that we know about, but maybe there's a gap between our experience of that. And it's not just that, but there was a study that was done on the prayer practices of Christian leaders in the United States. It was done by a foundation in Tennessee, and they commissioned Barna to do a study of the prayer practices of leaders, of Christian leaders in the United States. They got the study back, and they never published the study. You know why? This is what David, who commissioned the study, said. He said, "This is the most disturbing report I've ever read." They never published it. Why? What do you think they found in this study? Six-figure study looking at the prayer practices of Christian leaders in the United States. What do you think they found in that study? That's the summary, right? It was lacking. But even more disturbing than that was this. They found that individuals over their career had more and more influence, more and more opportunity, more and more staff, more and more positions of leadership. And what do you think happened over that same period of time to their prayer practices? Why? Why does this happen? As there was more and more leadership. So what happens if they are right in the study of saying there is growing influence and yet there is decreasing prayerfulness? What happens in that gap? Turn to your neighbor, 3 minutes. What happens when this gap continues to grow on individuals, on the organizations that they serve? What happens when that gap continues to grow? 3 minutes, turn to a neighbor. Our influence exceeds our prayerfulness. What happens in that gap? Sid, you got to be careful of scratching, because I thought that was a hand right there. That's it. What happens in that gap? What happens? We depend on ourselves instead of God. So good. Thank you. Yeah. What else? What else happens? Busyness. Yeah. We just get occupied with busyness. Good. What else?
One of your other topics, mission drift.
Oh, man. Sorry. I'm going to give him mission drift. You get lead with prayer on that. Yeah. That's it. No. That's it. You know, I've had someone tell me, "Hey, Peter, you've only written one book. It's Mission Drift, and then like other just themes around it on that." And there might be some truth to that on that. But yeah, that impact. What else? Sorry, I'm out of prizes for right now. But what else happens in that gap? What else? What else were you talking about? There was some good discussion. Wow. 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 Look at me. Look at all I can do. Yeah. Wow. Thank you. The opposite of John the Baptist. Good. What else? Yeah. Look at all I can do. Yep. Yes. Yes. I don't need Jesus. I can do it. You know, there's one quote from an individual named Robert Clinton, and he says that in latter years of ministry, the tendency is to rely on one's own ability, the ability to do things, rather than on God. We can do it in our own strength. What does Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do your strategic plan goals. Right. Yeah. Nothing of substance or lasting value. What else happens in that gap? Loneliness, isolation. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Anxiety, insecurity. Yeah. Good. Wow. Yeah. Moves from spiritual work to social work. Right. Good. Yeah. My guess is you didn't need me here to say that prayer matters. But I think that in this gap, there is more at stake than we realize. There was one study that looked at individuals that didn't finish well. Isn't that like a depressing study to do? Let's study all of the leaders that didn't finish well. And there were a couple things that was a common characteristic in every single one of those stories. And this was 256 individuals that they studied. Guess what the connection was to prayer? Every single one had long before had a sense of, yes, they would pray when they're on a stage, but no sense of a personal prayer life. Every single one. There is so much at stake at this. Isn't that interesting? And do we actually believe we would make different decisions if we paused and prayed about it? My guess is we would make some different decisions. I like how Tim Keller summarized this issue, and I think he did it just perfectly when he said this. He said this, prayerlessness is detrimental for a Christian, but it's death for a Christian leader. You want to try to do this on your own? Good luck. Good luck. This is too important on here. It is death for a Christian leader. So, next question then. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult to make time and space for prayer? What is it about prayer that makes it so hard? Why is there this gap? Why did that research study find that it's really, really hard for leaders to prioritize prayer? One more time this morning, turn to your neighbor, turn to a different neighbor, get to know someone else. 3 minutes, why don't we pray? What makes this so difficult to actually do in our lives and in our organizations? 3 minutes, turn to a neighbor. All right, I'd love to hear what makes this so difficult for us, for our organizations. What is it? And I said I didn't have any more prizes. That was for the first question. I have a few more on here, but what makes it so difficult? Why don't we pray? Yes. Tiredness. Yeah. Now I lay me down to sleep. Always not the best time to really engage in deep prayer. Good. Yeah. What else? What's that? Rather escape to entertainment. And there is always, has anyone when they're scrolling reached the end of the scroll? Like, no, there's always more. There's always more. Yeah. What else? Over here. What do we have? Yeah. Yeah, the idea that God's going to do what God's going to do doesn't make a difference. Yes. Distractions. Yeah, yeah. Cell phone. There we go. All right. That's a good list. What else? I'm not out of prizes yet. I have one MDS hammer on that. So thank you on that. You get a hammer. Yes, yes. Good, good. What else? What else do we have? We think of it as duty instead of privilege. So good. Yeah, good. Yep, yeah. What else? Yes. Ooh, maybe we have the wrong definition of what prayer is. How would you define prayer? Yes. Yes. Could you hear that? Prayer involves active listening, contemplation, more than just us kneeling and talking. Good. Thank you. There's lots to explore and unpack in that. So good. Yes.
With that, you might interrupt up. Oh, easy. Slow.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was my issue on that day, right? Here's all the stuff. I slow down in my mind. That space is filled real quickly with what we need to do. Yeah, good. Couple more. Yes. There we go. The prayer hammer. Throw it down. That's it. Good. Thank you. What else? Love it. Wait, you don't feel adequate when you come before a holy God on that? Your inadequacies might. Yeah, totally. That's real. Yeah, good. over and over again. Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's odd, isn't it? I mean, God invites us, tells a story about keep knocking on that. And yet sometimes feels like repetition. And maybe along with that, God, you're not answering. You're not doing what I sure think would be best in this situation. So good. This is a lot of important issues. Can I tell you my top three? Why I don't pray on that. Some version of this, and you mentioned a lot of these issues, but some version of this. One, there's always more to do. You said it. There's always a lot of things to do. We have a lot. How many of you show up at the office and you just have nothing to do? You just, no emails, no meetings. Like, no, we are busy. There is a lot to do in modern life. I have four kids. Navigating their schedules is not an easy. We have a matrix of how that works in our family. There's a lot of activities. There's a lot to do. But you know, when we started this research on the prayer lives of world-changing leaders, do you know who we started with? Who do you think we started with? Ministers? Pastors?
Jesus. Can we give a prayer hammer to this woman right over here? That's where we started. We thought that would be a good place. We thought that would be a great place to start, to look at the prayer life of Jesus. No offense to pastors and ministers on that. That's important too. But what we found was amazing. Now, when I think about busyness, I think Jesus was pretty busy on that, especially as his reputation went out. Can you imagine if the reputation is, this is someone who makes blind people see. This is a person who heals. This is a person who feeds and multiplies bread and loaves. This is someone. Do you know how many people wanted a moment of Jesus's time? There were crowds. There were crowds. And not only that, but he only had how many years of official ministry? Three. All of that, three. Now, Jesus, what do you think we can learn about the prayer life of Jesus? To the consternation of those that were closest to him, Jesus, what? He kept disappearing to make time to pray. Jesus, look at all the people that you could minister to. Look at all of the places that you could go. Look at all the speaking invitations that you have. And yet, Jesus, you're making time to pray. It is fascinating. Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And if that is true for Jesus, maybe the question for you and for me is, do we think or act like we're busier than Jesus? Do we actually act? And if it mattered to Jesus, might it matter for us? He prioritized prayer. And so is it a busy problem or is it a priority problem? And when I look at the example of Jesus, I am so confronted by the fact that if it mattered for Jesus, maybe it matters more than I understand for me too. Second thing that we found when we were trying to understand what is it that makes this so difficult is this, some version of this. I got it. I can do this. I got our plans. But I think when we really unpack this, if we can do it in our own strength, maybe our goals are a little too small. Maybe the mission that we think we're a part of, we might be underestimating the enormity of what we're trying to do. If you're trying to grow an organization by 5% per year, maybe you can do that on your own. If you're trying to see thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, good luck trying to do that on your own. Like, we are invited into a bigger mission. And I think sometimes when we go to pray, we need to start by being reminded of who we pray to. There is the enormity of God. There is the wisdom of God. And I appreciate this, Isaiah 55. Heaven's higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You think your thoughts are pretty good? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Why would we try to do this on our own? Why would we think that I might actually act as if I think I'm wiser than God, that I can do this on my own without realizing the wisdom of heaven is available? We are invited to seek the Lord, the one who is the maker of heaven and earth. And if you need a reframe, a reset of the way that you pray, do it at night looking up at the stars. Do it at night, looking at the enormity of this universe that God has created. And then the next morning, go and take a prayer walk and look at the flowers and the intricacies. Look at a spider web. Look at the things that God has created. And the maker of all of that
big and small, is the one that we have the opportunity to be in relationship with. That is crazy on that. That is incredible. So maybe we need to reset our imagination and remember who it is that we pray to. And then third, there's some version of this. You know, I tried it and it didn't work. I tried it. I was on a plane with an individual. My heart broke, but he was from the Netherlands, and we were talking about prayer, and he said, I used to do it, and then my nephew passed away. And he said, that was the last time that I ever prayed, and I will never pray again. And if we pray long enough, we're all going to have those experiences. Like, what do we do when we don't have the answers that sure seem like they're in alignment with the heart of God? I have a ton of unanswered prayers right now. I want peace in Ukraine so badly for our friends. I was talking to our country director yesterday. Like, it is terrible what is happening to our friends in the regions. And I pray for that. I pray for certain things that are happening around the world and certain things in my family that sure seem like they're in alignment with the heart of God. And yet there's not the answer now. What do we do? What do we do with unanswered prayers? One of the most significant moments of the research is when I had the opportunity to interview Johnny Erickson Tata. Now, how many of you know Johnny's story? Yeah, many of you in this room, but she was paralyzed as a teenager in a diving accident. I didn't realize this, but if there is ever someone who is living with unanswered prayers, it's Johnny. Like, not only has God not answered the prayers for her physical, she lives with chronic pain. Every night she is in the middle of the night, she is awakened with terrible pain on that. She lives with chronic pain. She has had heartache in her life that is significant, and she is in many ways living with unanswered prayer. And yet she is a woman of such deep prayerfulness. And she invited us to ask whatever it was, and we asked her, like, how do you still, when you're living with seemingly unanswered prayer, how do you pray? What does that look like? And this was her response. She said this: when you're facing a need, spend 20% of your time in prayer addressing the need itself. Ask for deliverance, ask for a change in your circumstance. She said God can and sometimes does the miraculous, and she has seen it. She has been a part of it. She has seen and believing that God still can and does do amazing miracles. That is absolutely true. Do not be shy in asking for deliverance. Ask for a change. Ask for a miracle. Absolutely. But I need someone who's really good at math to tell me if 20% of her time, how much time does she have left to pray for something else? You guys are good on that. 80% on that. And what do you think she invites herself and others to pray about in those remaining 80%? This is what she said. But the other 80% of your time in prayer, ask God to grant courage, patience, and endurance. In your unwanted circumstance, ask, what can I learn about Christ in this? How will God reveal himself to me through this? Here's the deal. Do you think God has not answered those prayers? Do you think God has not given her extraordinary courage? She's one of the most courageous people I know. She is living a life of outward faith and courage. And what she has done with Johnny and friends and for people with living with disability, like, she has done incredible. She is a courageous leader. Patience. She, in the middle of the night when she's woken, you know what she does? She memorizes scripture, and she has a different nurse aides that are there, and she teaches them scripture and sings songs with them. And there have been people who have come to Christ as a result of caring for her in the middle of the night. Do you think she's not been given patience, endurance, doing this for decade after decade, being faithful? She pushed back on her premise that God hadn't answered her prayers. She said, God has answered our prayers. We changed what it is that we're praying for. We had a bigger definition of what it is that we're praying for. And she said, I would rather have this with the experience of the nearness of Christ than a life of being able to walk and to miss out on the intimacy that I have experienced with Jesus. She said that is better. God has answered her prayers. It has been extraordinary. And when I think about that, I think about, I want to grow to pray more like Johnny. I want to learn more about what that looks like. And it's interesting that the disciples of Jesus, did you know there was only one recorded request that they have of Jesus? They said, Lord, teach us. And what would you want Jesus to teach you? If you could have Jesus teach you anything you wanted, Lord, teach us. I'd like the loaves and fish. Like, teach us how to do that. Someone who's never walked, teach us how to do that. The only recorded request that we have from those that were closest to Jesus is, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And so that's what we're going to explore tomorrow, a little bit more of what can we learn about prayer for ourselves and for the organizations that we are a part of, churches and organizations that we care about most. That's where we're going tomorrow. My time is up for today. It seems appropriate. Can I close in prayer? Is that all right? Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you are alive and you are at work in our world, even this morning, Lord. Thank you for MDS. Thank you for what we heard and saw and the way that you are rebuilding hope in places. Lord, bless them as they go and serve. And as we gather here, Lord, bless the time that we have. Would our ears be open to hear? And would our hands be willing to follow what it is that you are encouraging or leading us to do? And overall, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us about this amazing gift that you've given us of being in relationship with you for your glory, for your sake. And we pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.